Tomorrow's going to be a break from Inyani Gitrin. We're on Zayin Amid Beis, around the fourth line. Till the Mishnah on Tes Amid Aleph is going to be a Hafsoka. About other topics. Okay, so for the first topic is going to be discussed is going to be about Eretz Yisrael. We read the parsha yesterday, where the Rabbanu Shalom tells Avraham Avinu Kum Hisalach Baruch La'orko L'Rochbo Ki Docho Etineno. So the pasuk is a little bit unclear. How do you translate the words Etineno? Is that a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future? Rabbanu Shalom promises that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, to his descendants, sometime in the future, namely when Yeshua ben Nun and the Jewish armies conquered Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael right now. By walking around the borders, you will acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara in Yesh Nachlan says that when Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, that's in Parsha Shmos, that he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim, and he's going to give them Eretz Yisrael, and Asati Os HaLachem Morosho, Ani Hashem. So the word Morosho is also a problematic word. We're not sure whether it means the same as Yerusha. Eretz Yisrael is an inheritance from the days of Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu already acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And maybe Morosho does not mean the same as Yerusha. Maybe it means we will acquire Eretz Yisrael in the future. It's not yet the Yerusha. We will get it. When the Jewish armies will conquer Eretz Yisrael, we will acquire ownership based on the principle of Kibush Mocham. That's Sugya Leila on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara talks about Kibush Mocham. The Gemara learns that whenever one nation goes to war against another nation, whether Beheter or Biyisa, whoever wins the war acquires ownership of the land. So is it that the Jewish people acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael when Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land? Or was it that Avraham Avinu was kind of the land when he walked around the borders? So the Gemara in Yesh Neichlin quotes one Tana, who interprets that that was the Shaila of the Menois Tzlovchad. In the newspapers today, in the reg sheets, they presented that the Menois Tzlovchad, they were fighting for women's rights. And because they tumbled, because they made a demonstration, so the rabbis gave in, or God gave in, however one wants to present. So the Gemara in Yesh Neuchlin quotes one Tana who presents the Menois Tzlovchad as being much more learned than that. So the Gemara presents it that Menois Tzlovchad, they knew the din is that whenever there are no sons, the daughter gets Yerusha. That wasn't the issue. The issue was that their father, Tzlovchad ben Chefer, was a Bchor to his father. And the Bchor is entitled to Pishnayim. But the pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim that the Bchor only gets Pishnayim. Bchor Hashei Matzei Lo. Bchor is only entitled to Pishnayim of the assets that the father possesses at the time of death. If at the moment of death the father doesn't have the assets, he just acquires it later. Let's say he bought a ticket, a sweepstakes ticket to the Irish sweepstakes, and the drawing is after he dies. And he comes into this money after he dies, so all the children divided equally, and the Bechor does not get Pishnai. I think Mar gives another example. Nichse Davua Da'aba. Nichse Davua Da'aba. Let's say you have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So as it happens, Avram died first, and Yitzchak died second, and Yaakov died third. But let's say it would have been the reverse. Let's say Yitzchak would die first, and he has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And let's say, for argument's sake, Yaakov is the Bechor, and Esav is not. And after Yitzchak dies, then Avraham Avinu dies. And each one is a multimillionaire. So the assets that Yitzchak has at the time that he dies, so Yaakov gets Pishnayim, if we'll consider Yaakov the Bechor. But the assets that Avraham has, and Avraham died after Yitzchak, so Yitzchak, that's what we call Yitzchak Yarshins Bekever. Yitzchak pre-deceased Avraham. So he Yarshins Bekever from Avraham Avinu. So at the time of it, at the moment of Yitzchak's death, he didn't possess his father's property yet. So then Yaakov and Esau will divide equally. Yaakov will not be entitled to Pishnayim. The Bechor, that's how the Mishnah says. The Bechor is only entitled to Pishnayim b'muchzok v'lo b'ro'i. Only the assets that the father has already at the time of death, and whatever he didn't have at the moment of death, whatever assets he acquires after he died, true, he yarshins it b'kever, but the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. So the Gemara quotes one Tana, who understood the story of Bnei Tzlavcha differently from the way many others interpreted. That the Bnei Tzlavcha knew all the dinim that we know. They were asking a different Nekuda. They were asking about the Pishnayim. That their father, Tzlavcha ben Chefer, was a Bchor to his father. So they wanted to know. So the Bchor gets Pishnayim of the assets that they had. So what assets did they have as they were traveling in the Midbar? So they had some clothing. Rashi and Chumash says, the clothing that they wore lasted for 40 years. I guess they had a pair of pajamas, one pair of shoes. The shoes grew, the shoes didn't. They had shoes, the same pair of shoes lasted for 40 years. They had one pair of pajamas, I guess, but whatever. So what are they going to get? What are they going to give the Yerusha? There was Bezus Mitzrayim and Bezus Hayam. I guess each one had a suitcase full of jewelry. Bezus Mitzrayim, Bezus Hayam had a couple of dollars there. Each one had a sukkah, a bed. What do they have already? That the Bchor is going to get Pishnayim. So the Bnei Tzlavcha were interested in the big real estate. There's a whole Eretz Yisrael over there. And the grandfather, Chefer, is going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael, Birusha. So the Shaila is, did Avraham Avinu already acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael? When he died, it went to Yitzchak. When he died, it went to Yaakov. When he died, it went to each one of the Shvatim. And therefore, it already belonged to Chefer. So when Chefer died, it's Muchzok. So Tzlavchad is entitled to Pishnayim, so he gets a double share. And the Bnei Tzlavchad are going to divide the double share. Or do you say no? That Eretz Yisrael was promised to Avraham Avinu. Kiluchay Tineno was promised, but it wasn't delivered until way later, until Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land. So that was the Gemara. The Gemara quotes one Tana. That was the suffix of the Bnei Tzlavchad. And that's what the Gemara understands. Where did they get this interpretation from? Where did they get such a wild interpretation? Because the Pasuk says, so the double loshen means you should give them a double portion. Yes, you should give them a double portion. The answer that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer to the Shaila. Moshe Rabbeinu had delivered the nevuah to Bnei Yisrael that appears in Parshas Shmos. So the Gemara says he delivered the nevuah, but he himself wasn't sure what the word meant. He said word for word what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say, but he wasn't sure what the meaning of the word, what the connotation of the word Marosha is. Whether Marosha is the same as Yerusha, it's a Yerusha from the days of Avraham Avinu. Marosha means that they will get it. They'll get it in the future, but they didn't get it yet. So he wasn't sure what the din is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Nosan titeim lahem achuzas nachalo. Yes, they are entitled to the Pishnayim. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Eretz Yisrael mechzakasi mi'avisein mi'mois Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people since the days of Avraham Avinu, because when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, whom hisalach v'aretz la'orko la'rochbo ki l'choy tenen and parshas nechlecho, that constituted the kinyan. The Gemara says in Bava Basra and Dav Kuf, that was a kinyan chazoke. Normally a kinyan chazoke means if I own a field, I own karka, karka is nikness b'chazoke. It's going to be a Gemara later about chobeis. Karka, metalplim are not nikna b'chazok. We spoke about it the other day. If you have an otzitz nakuv versus an otzitz shena nakuv, so whatever's growing in the otzitz nakuv has a din like karka. Whatever's growing in the otzitz shena nakuv does not have the din of karka. So on the one, kinyan chazoka will work because it's karka, and kinyan hagbo mishicha will not work. Even, I understand there's no hagbo mishicha on a building. How can you pick up the building? But if the thing is an otzitz, you can pick it up just as easily, whether it's nakuv ain't a nakuv. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. If it's an otz, it's nokub, and what's growing inside is dina kikarka. So kinyan chazoka works, and kinyan hagba mishicha does not work. And if an otz is she'ena nokub, it's dina kimetaplim, so it's the reverse. Chazoka does not work, and hagba mishicha does work. The Menachas Chinuch points out in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, Bahar Bechukosai, where the Torah speaks about kisimka remimka la misecha, kana miyana misecha. So he speaks about kinyani karka and kinyani metaltalim. So he quotes a Piske HaTaisus from Pcheres, from the beginning of the second parak of Pcheres. We don't have, and Piske HaTaisus is a kitzer of the Psochim that appear in the Taisus. So we don't have the corresponding Taisus. We just have the Piske HaTaisus. There used to be a Taisus that said that Metaltalim can be nicknamed B'chazaka. So he says it's against the Gemara. Piske HaTaisus made a mistake. It's Beferish against this Gemara later in Gittin. That Chazaka only works on Karka, doesn't work on Metaltalim. And Hagbah Mashiach only works on the Talpilin, it doesn't work on Karka, even though it's physically possible to make the Chazaka or the Mashiach or the Hagbah on both. On the Otzitz Nokam, Otzitz Nokam, it's exactly the same. The ease with which you make the either Kinyan is the same, but still Kinyoni Karka don't work on the Talpilin, Kinyoni Talpilin don't work on Karka. So normally when you make a Kinyan Chazaka, it means if I own the Karka and I authorize you to make a Kinyan Chazaka and thereby you should acquire ownership, so then you kind of a chazaka here. The Rabbanu Shel Olam authorized. Whoever was living there in Haknani Yazbaharit, the Knani when Eretz Yisrael, they didn't authorize Avraham Avinu to make the Kinyan. That's the first Rashi Al HaTorah. Rashi says the Umas Olam claim the Jewish people are listim atem. That's what they say, Yare Yamazeh. They say listim atem. We're not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. So the official answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he's the Balabas and he has the right to give any land in the world to anybody he chooses. So he told Avraham Avinu, I authorize you to make a Kinyan Chazaka. It's my world, it's my land. You make a Kinyan Chazaka. And the Gemara says that walking around the borders constituted the Kinyan Chazaka. That was the Kinyan Chazaka. And that's why Eretz Yisrael was considered Muchzak and not Rois. And when Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah, Nasati Osalachem Morasha, it does mean that it's a Yerusha. So why did he say Morasha? That's a good question. Why did he say, you should have said Yerusha? So apparently the word Morasha means a Yerusha, special kind of a Yerusha. Special kind of a Yerusha. There are two different types of Yerusha. There's a Yerusha that I got a big Yerusha from my rich uncle. He left me $1 million, and then I can burn the money if I want. I can gamble it away. I can invest it. I can put it in a bank. I can do whatever I want with the money. And then that's an inheritance. And then there's another thing that's called a heritage in English. A heritage means you got a Yerusha, and it's your responsibility to transmit this Yerusha to the next generation within the family. There's a family heritage to transmit it to the next generation. So that's the difference in Hebrew between Yerusha and Morasha. Yerusha means an inheritance, and whoever gets it has the right to squander it, to do whatever he wants, to retain it, or to give it away, to sell it. And a Morasha means a heritage. We got Eretz Yisrael b'Yerusha. It belonged to Avraham Avinu, and we're not allowed to give it away. We are not the Balabatim to give it away. This is a heritage that we have an obligation to transmit in the next generation. The Gemara points out that the word Morasha only appears in the other context of the Torah is also a Yerusha that belongs to all of us, and we have the obligation to transmit it to the next generation. So the Gemara understands that was the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu. Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avraham Avinu when he made that Kinyan Chazaka. The Gemara there in Bava Basra Daf Kuf has a machlokes hatanoim. If I today would like to sell you a field, a farm, and I'll tell you, walk around the borders and you'll acquire ownership, does that constitute a chazaka bizman hazeh? Or was on only a hayruah shoah, a chad pami, that constituted a kinyan chazaka at that time. That's what the Rabbanu Shalom told Avraham Avinu. So we paskan that bizman hazeh, that would not be considered a chazaka. That was a hayruah shoah and a shemaim, that at that time it was considered a chazaka. But Allah Almighty today wouldn't be a chazok. And Rabbi Lezer disagreed. Rabbi Lezer holds that it's even good bizman hazeh.
How did the Mitzvot know there was an office of the Chol?
That's how this Tana claims, that they were very learned women. They had already heard all the dinim. Moshe Rabbeinu was already given.
No. Moshe
Rabbeinu didn't say the Chol. I don't know. The Gemara assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu had already told them the din. It appears in the Chumash. It's printed in the Chumash later. But it doesn't necessarily mean that historically it wasn't revealed to them yet. That's what this Tana claims, that all the laws of Yerusha were told already. And the only Nikudas HaSafik that the Menas Lofka has was whether Eretz Yisrael was Roy or Muchzok. If it's Roy, then they understand they're not entitled to Pishnaim. And if it's Muchzok, then they understand they are entitled to Pishnaim. And the answer was given, Asan Titein, a Kefaloshan, that they are entitled to the Pishnaim. So that's one Inyan of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham Avinu. He gives him Eretz Yisrael. What did it make a bris? A bris is a shvuah. The Ramban on Chumash writes, a bris is a shvuah, means al kol parim. Under all conditions, even if we live in a generation where perhaps the Jewish people are not so observant, We don't deserve to have Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always will belong to the Jewish people. And Baruch Chumash explains that that's what every bris means. Even if you don't deserve it, a bris means al kalponim, a shvua, and the shvua means al kalponim. So what does it mean? So the Chazon Ish explains. What did the Rebbe Shlom make a bris with Avram and a bris with Yitzchak, a bris with Yankov over here? He gave him Eretz Yisrael already. If he had only promised Eretz Yisrael, and the Sati also, if one would have understood that it means a promise, so then he keeps on promising to Yitzchak and to Yankov. But if we assume that it means the Kenyan, so why did the Rebbe Shlom make a bris? So the Chazon Ish points out this Ramban al Ator, that the word bris has the connotation of al kolponim. What it means is that Eretz Yisrael is the one thing in the world that's not subject to the principle of Kibush Mulchama. Normally, when we should have said when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, so the Jewish nation lost their ownership of the land. So it no longer belongs to us. So that was what the Bris accomplished, that Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the principle of Kibush Mulchama. A bris means al kalponim under all conditions. The Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. So it's not that in 1948 we regained ownership of Eretz Yisrael. We never lost the ownership. From the days of Avraham Avinu till Ado Yom Hazeh, the whole Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. Not only the parts of Eretz Yisrael that the Israeli government has control of. All of Eretz Yisrael, whatever was included in the Haftachat Avraham Avinu, he made a Kenyan.
That means the Kiddusha, even though the Kiddusha could be Paka, but still, it's not totally on the kibush.
Right, so there was no kiddusha in the days of Avraham Avinu. We assumed there was no kiddusha. The kiddusha didn't begin till way later. Mm-hmm. So even after the kiddusha was created and canceled, it doesn't affect the kinyan. The ownership of Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the whole Jewish people from the days that Avraham Avinu made the kinyan. We never lost the ownership, and it was never totally in the kiddusha Saharetz. The kiddusha only came into existence. So Nafkamina, what attitude you have? Halachic Nafkamina, the Gemara has Babylon's Locha. Okay. Yeah.
What about, so what David conquered came after the bris?
What David conquered was not part of Eretz Yisrael proper. That's what Tosis points out on the bottom of Chesamid Aleph, the last line. So they quote the pasuk. Where's that at the end of the last pasuk? At the end of Parsha Sekev. So the Sifrei comments on that pasuk. The Ramban at the end of Parsha Sekev quotes that same Sifrei that the Tosis quotes over here. That kol ma shekov shemichutz laaretz also becomes kodesh b'kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So that was the story with David HaMelech. Was kovish Surya. Surya was not part of the original map of Eretz Yisrael that was given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't acquire ownership of Syria. So that's David HaMelech was kavish that. That's a new din. Aratzas on the surface. If any generation, if the Jewish army will conquer additional areas, so the Jewish people can endow that additional area with Kedusha Saras.
But then the Kibush will apply to that. Meaning if the Romans conquer that, the Romans will no longer get Israel anymore. The first was that
mean we can lose our ownership on that. Yeah, that probably was not included. Probably. That is probably is correct. Yeah. So the Gemara talks about Kedusha Rishayin and Kedusha Shniyah. The Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara Yivam is daf pei beis. So we usually assume that the Kedusha Rishayin, Yivam is the Gemara that was always missing, and then we used a different Gemara. Nothing more. What did we do again? This is what happened last time. Same Gemara, Yivam is daf pei beis. Right. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that the Kedusha Rishayna means in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when the Jewish armies conquered Eretz Yisrael, they succeeded in endowing it with Kedusha. The Gemara points out the Pasuk in Yeshua says that it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael from the Lamed Aleph Malach. Then the Gemara has a tradition, an oral tradition, which does not appear in Tanakh. The Gemara in Erechin says like this, Svara. The Gemara says we have a tradition based, and it's a Svara, that just like it took 7 years to conquer the land, so it took 7 years to divide the whole land. It's hard to understand what the Svara is, but that's how the Gemara says. But they have a historical tradition that the first 14 years after Yeshua ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet. The 15th year was the first year There was year number one for the purposes of Shemitah, the Yovam, and the first Shemitah was not year number seven, but rather year number 21, because the first 14 years didn't count. And the first Yovam was not the year number 50 after they crossed over the Yarden, but rather year number 64. Because the first 14 years, the Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha. They weren't yet Chayv in Shumas and Mises, they weren't Chayv in Shemitah, the Yovam. The one exception to the rule, the Gemara points out, is Chala. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, B'vayach mal ha'aretz. In Chumash, the expression used in connection with the Chiyav Kala is, that's a Gemara Ksubis in the second paragraph of Chav Beis. The Gemara says that the Chiyav Kala begins right away, Mishinichni Sisol Oretz, even before they conquered the land. That's the Shaila, what does that mean? I mean, for Chiyav Kala, you don't require Kedusha Sa'aretz, because there wasn't any Kedusha Sa'aretz till after the 14 years? Or it means, with respect to Chiyav Kala, there was enough Kedusha Sa'aretz. With respect to the other mitzvah Sa'aretz, Ba'aretz, you need a deeper Kedusha. That second Kedusha took 14 years, 7 years of Kibush and 7 years of Chalukah. And with respect to Chiyav Chala, the Kedusha was Chal immediately. So that's a question in the Gemara there in Ksubis. How do you read the Hemshach HaSugya? What does the Gemara say there? So that's a discussion. What's the story with Chal? But leaving out the exception to the rule of Chal, all the other mitzvot Lizmarans didn't begin until year number 15. So that's what we usually assume, that the Kedusha Rishayna was in doubt, Eretz Yisrael, Ayideh, the Kibush Vechilu. And then at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, so the Kibush was undone. So the Gemara records on the Pei Beis in Yivamas, Abdik Machleke Satanoim, should we assume the Kedusha Rishayna was not only Kitchel Hashayt, it was Kitchel Osi Lovoi? The Kedusha Eretz Yisrael that was accomplished by Yeshua's armies is everlasting, and the Kedusha remains out of Yom Hazeh in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Or should we assume no? That since the Kedusha rested on Kibush, so once the Kibush was undone, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. So that's the accepted opinion. There wasn't a minority opinion in the days of the Tanoim, that when the Tanoim are discussing a few centuries after Lachar HaMaisa, when Churban Bayis Rishon occurred, was the Kedusha Soretz Batla or not? So the accepted opinion is that Kedusha Rishayna was only Kitchel HaShaita, but like Kitchel HaSilavai. It only accomplished Kedusha for the duration of time, for those few centuries that Eretz Yisrael was under Jewish control. And once the Kibush was undone by the Churban HaMedina, so then the Kedusha Soretz disappeared. And then when Ezra and Nehemiah came back in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, they had to endow Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha all over again. How did they accomplish that trick? It was not Ayidei Kibush V'chiluk. In the beginning of the period of Bayis Sheni, the Jews didn't have control of the government of Eretz Yisrael till the days of the Hashmonaim. That was centuries later. So the Kedusha Shniyah, the Rambam points out, but you don't need the Rambam to point it out, Hilchos Beis Abchira, the Rambam points out, Kedusha Shniyah was not based on Kibush V'chiluk. There was no Kibush. There was no Kibush, there was no Chiluk. Look in Tanakh, there was no Kibush, there was no Chiluk. So what was it based on? So the Rambam uses an expression, chazoke. What do you mean chazoke? Kinya chazoke. So that's how the Evan Ha'azal learns. It means kinya chazoke. It's very difficult. So it's usually assumed not like the Evan Ha'azal. So when the Rambam talks about chazoke, it does mean chazoke to be like Avraham Avinu was kind of Eretz Yisrael made a kinya chazoke. His kinya chazoke did not endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. So when Ezra and Nehemiah came back, what do you mean? They made a Kinyan Chazakah, said that endowed the Eretz Yisrael the second time around with Kedusha. How come in the days of Avraham Avinu the Chazakah didn't accomplish the Kedusha? So the Pashtus, the Rambam does mean Chazakah, Kinyan Chazakah from Maseches Kedusha and Karkas Niknes Bekesev Beshtar B'Chazakah. He means a different word. The Rambam is probably just referring to the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, that's what Rab Chaim writes in the Sefer on the Rambam. But the Salevi quotes this B'Shem Rab Chaim. The Salevi was Rab Chaim's father. So he writes, my son Rab Chaim from Balozhin said Pshat in the Rambam, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, that it says in the Teuchicha that after the Golas Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael, and we will have it easier. We'll have a better time in Eretz Yisrael than our forefathers had. So what was better in the Bayis Sheni was better than the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was full of machlekes. They didn't have an independent Jewish government until the days of the Hashmonaim. So what was better? What was Heitivcha the Hirbucha Me'avisecha? So the Talmud Yerushalmi just says in one aspect, it was better. In the days of the Yeshua ben Nun, Avisechen le'nischayivu b'mitzvah satluyiz barat, le'nischayivu b'chumas emaisis until after Kibush V'chilu. And Atem, the second time around, when they came back in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period, Mi'ad nischayavtem. They did chavichayim b'chom niyavasech. They didn't have to have kibush b'chiluk. There was no kibush b'chiluk for centuries till the days of the Hashmonaim. They succeeded in endowing Eretz Yisrael with kedusha just by moving in. That's probably what the Rama means chazok. Chazok means they just moved in. They moved into the areas and they endowed them with chazok, with kedusha saris. So the kedusha shniyah was different from the kedusha v'shayna. The Rama points out the kedusha v'shayna was accomplished like a day kibush v'chiluk. Chiluk means the gemar hakibush. The kibush means that they conquered the land from the lamad aleph malachim. In chalukah is the gemar hakibush. Not only did we conquer it, we divided it, and there's no zecher to the fact that it used to belong to the umas before him. So that was the kedusha v'shayna was accomplished like a day kibush v'chiluk. So that's why the Rambam writes once the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, so the kibush was undone. So the whole kedusha was undone. Masheni came the kedusha shniya. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. Should I, on the assumption that kedusha v'shayna was batla at the time of churban hamedina, at the time of churban bais rishon, the whole churban of the whole Eretz Yisrael? What about the kedusha shniya? Kedusha shniya didn't rest on kibush to say that you should say the kibush was undone. There was no kibush, and still they made a chazaka, so they endowed the land with kedushas. And maybe since it's not totally in kibush, maybe if the Nochrim, when the Roman armies conquered Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, so it's not under Jewish control, but for centuries it wasn't under Jewish control, beginning of Baishan, and it still had Kedushas. Maybe the Kedusha remains. So that's the generally accepted opinion. Most of the Rishonim assume that that's the majority opinion. The Kedusha Shniyah was not only Kitchel Shaita, not only did it endow a Kedusha for those few centuries of the Baishani period, it's Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Osilova. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the minority opinion, the Sefer HaTrumah, the Rabbeinu Baruch, the author of the Sefer HaTrumah. Sefer HaTrumah is like a little Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It has a little paragraph on Shabbos, and a little paragraph on Kashrus, and a couple of paragraphs on Taras HaMishpach, a little on this, a little on that. In each little paragraph, he writes what the Dinamah, like a little Kitzur. But it's written by one of the Bali Atesis. Rabbeinu Baruch is quoted in Tesis and every so often in different Masechtos. So the Rabbeinu Baruch is the one, he's the outstanding, most outstanding Rishon who clearly thinks that Kedusha Shniyah was bottled. That there's no Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael today. Just like during the 70 years of Golas Babel, there was no Kedusha. So after the Churban Bais Sheni, there was no Kedusha. The question is, until when? Until Ben Gurion came. When is it going to be over? So that's the question. When, according to but it's irrelevant. The question is irrelevant. It might have to mean it. We don't follow the opinion of the Rabbeinu Baruch. We follow the majority opinion of the Rishonim, who say that Kedusha Shniyah was Leibotla. Kedusha Shniyah was Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Asilov. We had the Tosis on the first daf in Gittin. Tosis on Beis Amaral. But Tosis quotes from the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Yavam is different from Sifkas. The Gemara says, there were areas that there was a Kedusha Rishayna, but there was no Kedusha Shniya. So in those areas where there was a Kedusha Rishayna, there was no Kedusha Shniya. So they weren't chayiv in Nitzas HaTliz Baritz. They didn't have to observe Trumas and Marsis and Shmita V'yayvam. The area of the Kedusha Rishayna was much bigger than the area of the Kedusha Shniya. Yeah, but again, this is only relevant when it gets to the observance of the mitzvah Satlis Baritz, when it gets to what part of Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. Whatever Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of, that belonged to the whole Jewish people. Then you have a parsha in Parshas Maaseh. The Torah says that it's not an election. The Torah tells us who should... We didn't vote for this. The Rebbeinu Shlom chose who should be the representatives of the Jewish people. And so on and so forth. You have listed off all the names of the Rosh Hamatas for the purpose of Yinchol Alachem Esoretz. What do you mean that they represented all the members of their Shevet? How do they represent the members of the Shevet? So the Gemara in Kiddush, in the beginning of the second parak, has three interpretations. First, the Gemara thought that they were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them there's elections, but there's only one candidate to vote for, like in Russia. There's only one candidate to vote for. So everyone should appoint these people as their shaliach. So this is the mocker for shlichus. Gemara says one opinion of Gemara. This parsha is the mocker for shlichus. That all the people in the shevet appointed that person. Rabbi Shlomo gave a recommendation. Every shevet appoint this one. This shevet appoint that one. They appointed him as a shaliach to represent them as far as yinchal alachem asar. Then the Gemara said, how can it be as a shliach? There were ketanim before bar mitzvah who don't have the ability to appoint the shliach. So can it be that all of these are recommendations and all the members of the shevet appointed this person as the shliach? A katan can't appoint the shliach. So the Gemara suggests the second shot, maybe the nesim represented all the members of the shevet without minui shlichas, maybe it's midin zechiah. Zachen li adam shalai b'fanav. And the Gemara is assuming that this answers the original question. How can a katan, if they were members of the shevet who were literally yisayimim before the age of bar mitzvah, and they got a Yerusha from their father, so how can they appoint a shliach? A katan is Allah bar das, can't appoint a shliach. So the Gemara gives the second suggestion, that zachen li adam shalai b'fanav works ben ha-Torah. That's not like a satanai. What is Zachen li adam works ben ha-Torah mid the Rabban? Not like in Bava Basra and Mishnah. So the Gemara makes a suggestion, Zachen works min ha-Torah, and Zechiah Lekotan also works min ha-Torah, and that's what was happening over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells, not that he's giving one candidate and he says everybody should vote for that candidate, like in Russia. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling these people, I'm telling you to represent all the people in the Shevet, Midin Zachen li adam shalai b'fanav. Then the Gemara is not happy with the second shot either. It does make sense to say that we're employing the principle of Zachen li adam shalai b'fanav, because for sure there are going to be some people who are going to bellyache. They're not going to be happy about what they got. The Gemara says, "Ikir nichalei behar v'la nichalei bebika, ikir nichalei bebika v'la nichalei behar." A lot of the people in the shevet are not going to be satisfied. So you can't use the principle of Zachen li adam shalai b'fanav. So you must say, the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, the third pshat, that the Nesiim represented, these Nesiim mentioned here in Parshas Masa, represented all the members of the Shevet, not Midin Shlucha Shalom Kemoisa, and not Midin Zoch Leonim Shalom Befano, but rather Midin Apotropos. What's the difference? Zoch Leonim Shalom Befano, same thing as Apotropos. The difference is Apotropos means if the one who does the Zechiah does so under the with the approval of a Bezin, then it's Midin Apotropos. And then it works even if it's not 100% l'tayv asay. Whatever the apotropos does is binding. If you're talking about zachen l'adam shalai b'fanav, it has to look like a schus. But if you're talking about apotropos, apotropos has the right to do things on behalf of the yisayimim. Here they're not yisayimim. Here they're adults and yisayimim. A whole blend of people in each shevet. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that this is the marker of the institution of apotropos. And the Nesim represented all the people in the Shevet Midin Apotropos. So that's the discussion in Gemara Kiddusha. But Gemara doesn't explain what were they representing the people in the Shevet for. For what purpose were they representing? Gemara just gives the three pshatim. Did they represent all the members of the Shevet B'Torah Shlichas? In other words, everyone in the Shevet had to appoint them. Or did they represent everyone in the Shevet Midin Zochen Le'olim Shalai B'Fanav? Or they say, no, this is a better form of Zochen. Because here the Zechiah is done under the auspices of the Bezin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Moshe Rabbeinu. So here it works midin apotropos. Fine. So we come to the conclusion, the Nesim represented all the members of their Shevet midin apotropos. They represented them to do what? What did they do? What did they do? So the Rambam explains in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Trumas, the Rambam dedicates the whole Perek to determining, to establishing what is Eretz Yisrael. First parak in Hilchos Trumas, he doesn't talk about the dinim of Truma, just talks about what's called Eretz Yisrael, that's chayv in Truma. So he says, Kedusha B'Sheina doesn't count, Kedusha B'Sheina was batla, has to be Kedusha Shnia, fine, he gives the whole story. And then he says, in order to be considered Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Kedusha, you have to have a kibush rabim. If it's only kibush yochid, it's not acceptable. And that's why, the Rambam explained, that's why they had to have these Yud Beis Nesiyim in Parshas Maaseh, representing all the members of the Shevet, do the Chalukah Sa'aretz. The Rambam explains that they made the Chalukah Sa'aretz before they waged the war. They sent soldiers, they made the Chalukah Sa'aretz before they waged the war, and they sent soldiers from Shevet Asher to that area that was going to belong to Shevet Asher. They sent soldiers from Shevet Binyamin to conquer that area. They sent soldiers from Shevet Zvulun to that area, to conquer that area. So lest one would think, well, that was a kibush yochid. Shevet Zvulun conquered an area and they took it for themselves. Shevet Binyamin conquered an area, they took it for themselves. Why should they send soldiers all over the place and then later on send all the soldiers to a different location? So first they divided all of Eretz Yisrael. They said the whole land belongs to the whole Klal Yisrael. They're going to divide it up and everybody's fighting for everybody. We're going to acquire everything as much as they were able to. They never really got everything in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to divide everything up. And thereby, the Rambam says, because the whole plan was made in advance, and the two Yud-Beis Nesim represented all the members of the Shevet, so that was considered, that constituted a Kibush Rabbah. If it would have been a Kibush Yochid, the Rambam explains, it would not have succeeded in endowing Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. So the Rambam explains that that's Pshat in the Chumash. That's Pshat in the story in Yoshua ben Nun. That before they went to wage the war, they drew a map of Eretz Yisrael, and the Yud-Beis Nesim divided everything. And they declared that the war, the kibush, is on behalf of everybody. So the Gemara has a famous machlokes over here on the Afches on the base regarding the status of Surya. Here, the second line on the Afches on the base, the Gemara says, Kasova kibush yochid shmei kibush. It's a machlokes hatanaim. They give you all the cross references in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Aleph, and later on in Maseches Gittin. There was a big machlekes hatanoim where the status of Surya was equivalent to that of Eretz Yisrael proper or not. What's the story? So the Tosis on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the bottom part of the Tosis, refers you to that pasuk in the end of Parshas Ekev. Kol mokam asher tidrach kaf raglechem bo lechem nesativ, shkol ma asher yikov shemichutz lo'aretz al yekodesh. You can add on to Eretz Yisrael any area that the Jewish soldiers conquer can be added on to Eretz Yisrael, and that too will acquire Kedusha Soretz, and will be chayv in the mitzvah Sotleis Baretz, the same as Eretz Yisrael proper. So there the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim regarding the status of Surya. When David HaMelech was kovish Surya, so the Gemara says it was an act of kibush yochid. It was not a kibush rabbi. So it's a machlekes hatanoim, whether kibush yochid succeeds in giving Kedusha or not. How could that be a machlekes? We just said, the Rambam said that that's what it says in Parshas Maaseh, that you had to have the Yud Beis Nesim represent the Shvatim to do the Chalukah before they waged the war, that it should be a Kibush Rabbim. It would have been a Kibush Yochid, but not have succeeded in endowing Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. So it's a Beferish Pasuk and Chumash. So how could that be a machlekes satanon? So we have to understand what is the term in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Trumas, when the Rambam is explaining this Parsha and Parshas in the Sedra of Maaseh, Nasiach Lamata Tikhu Lin Chol Sa'oriz, that the Nesim represented all the members of the Shevet to make the Chalukah Sa'oriz before they wage the war in order to endow the, in order that the whole Kibush should be considered a Kibush Rabbim. So that's one, that's, we know what the word Kibush Rab means. The conquest should be on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. What does the word Kibush Rabbim mean over here in the context of Surya, when David HaMelech was Kovish Surya? So here it's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosis. That's the Tosis on the bottom of Amud Aleph, Ches Amud Aleph. So it says printed on the side, Shaykh Lamed Beis. The Gemara in Ches Amud Aleph does not discuss the topic of Kibush Yochid versus Kibush Rabbim. It's on the second line on Amud Beis. There wasn't enough room in the Tosis on Amud Beis, so they put it on Amud Aleph. So that big fat Tosis on Amud Beis. So this one belongs really on our day. So what does the term mean? So Tosis has a different meaning. Tosis says it means like this. True, there is a din in the Sifrei on the pasuk at the end of Parsha Seik, V'kol mokam ashet tidrach kaf raglechem. Kol mokam means kol is a ribuy. The pasuk pshat and the pasuk doesn't go on Aratzas on a sofas. The pasuk pshat says the Ferish goes on Eretz Yisrael proper. How does the pasuk end off? Kol mokam ashet tidrach kaf raglechem. How does it go? It says it goes on Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't go on Aratzis on the surface. Kol ha-mokam ha-shetidroch kafrag lechem bo lechem yihye min ha-midbar v'halvonen min ha-noron ha-pros v'ar ha-yam ha-achron yihye gluchem. It goes on the borders of Eretz Yisrael. How can the Sifrei say it goes on Aratzis on the surface? The answer is the word kol. The word kol is a ribuy. Like the word ach and rak is a miut, so the word kol is always a ribuy. So kol is marbe, kol amokam afilu chutzlor, even arotzus on the surface. So Tosfos says, b'med var mamurim, when can you endow chutzlorets with kedusha saoretz if all of Eretz Yisrael already is filled up with kedusha? So then you can extend the kedusha into chutz laaretz as well. But if samach lepalten shalcha loy hayrashta, that's what Tosis quotes. David HaMelech didn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael yet. He didn't succeed in conquering all of Eretz Yisrael proper, the gvulos haaretz that appear in the chumash. So what do you mean? He went and he conquered chutz laaretz and in Syria, and he wanted to extend the kedusha to chutz laaretz. You can't do that. First, you have to endow all of Eretz Yisrael proper with kedusha. Well, what does that mean? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he was learning that this topic, he just gave a mashal. The question whether this mashal really explains it or not. He said, if you fill up a cup, so if you keep on pouring too much, then it's going to start to overflow. So if you fill up all of Eretz Yisrael with kedusha, and then you want to conquer an area in Chutz Laaretz that's adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, let's say he raised the question like this. He said, there is one opinion that Kibush Yochid can endow Kedusha Saretz. So the Kibush has to be with war, with battle. You have to kill someone. What if the JNF buys the land? What if the Jewish people buys the land and we spare ourselves waging the war? It's also Kibush. So he said, I bought my home in Boston. So that's a Kibush Yochid. So according to one Tana, my home in Boston has a Kedusha Saretz Yisrael. So he thought it wasn't correct. Why? We pass from Kibush Yochid, Lav Shmei Kibush. But if you want, one would have held Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush. So he said, it's a Dover Pasha that you can only call Mokam Mashat Tidrach Kaf Raglechem. The Rabbis Arotzes Hanasofa is whatever you conquer, Chutz Laaretz, has to be contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. The Kedush of Eretz Yisrael will extend, will overflow, and it'll go over the border, and it'll extend to those areas in Chutz Laaretz that are adjacent. It'll conquer England. England is a separate island, a separate continent. It'll conquer North America. It's a separate continent. It's not contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. So he thought it has to be contiguous to Eretz Yisrael. So then he explained that's perhaps what Tosis means over here. That's the question, is that what Tosis means? If Eretz Yisrael is all filled up with Kedusha, and then you conquer an area that's contiguous, so the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael can overflow, and it can apply to Chutz Laaretz as well. But if Samach Lepalten Shalcho Lo Hirashto, he didn't endow all of Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. So what do you mean? It's so full of Kedusha that it's even overflowing. It's not full of Kedusha. He didn't fill up all of Eretz Yisrael yet. That's one way to read the Tosis. Tosis is quoting the expression from the Sifrei. Samach Lepalten Shalcho Lo Hirashto, it means, Kolzman, you didn't fill up all of Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha. It can't extend, can't overflow to go into Chutz Laaretz as well. We usually assume that that's not what Tosis means. We usually assume that what Tosis means is a different thing. That it's only called Kibush Rabim if it's done with the approval of the Bez Nagol. That's a Rav Soloveitchik has a published essay about this. How do you poll the public opinion? Whenever you need Das Klal Yisrael, so how do you know whether you have Das Klal Yisrael? So he said, the halacha seems to be, yes, the Sanhedrin. Whatever the Sanhedrin says, the Sanhedrin represent Klal Yisrael like a congress. There are two dinim in Sanhedrin. That's what he said. There are two parshias in Chumash. One parsha is in Bahaloischa, Esrili Shivimisha Sheidaiti Kehem Zikne Ha'om Mishoitro. That the Sanhedrin is the congress, they represent the Klal Yisrael Sheidaiti Kehem Zikne Ha'om Mishoitro. Then you have the parsha in Shoiftim, Shoiftim Shoiftim Lecho. Then it says you should establish a Bez Nagodol in Yerushalayim. Whatever keep following him, Chadovel Amishpah, Midan Ladan, Ben Din Ladin, Ben Negev Negev, come to be Alisa Lamokim, go to the Bez Nagodol, whatever they pass can be binding. So the Psokim of the Bez Nagodol are binding, not because they represent Klal Yisrael. Why the farmers in Klal Yisrael are entitled to an opinion on the halachas. You have to have the Gdoli HaTorah, so whatever they say, that's the halacha. So the Bez Nagodol is the Supreme Court based on the law degrees that they have, based on the smicha that the Bez Nagodol has, they know how to learn. So they are the supreme Bez Nagodol. So they have the right to pass in Shaila. Here it's not an issue of passing a Shaila. Here it's an issue of gauging whether you have Das Rov Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, in order to be considered Kibush Rabim, it has to be, the Kibush should be done by Das Rov Yisrael. How do you know that you have Das Rov Yisrael? So you're going to poll the whole, they're going to send out letters. You're going to have an election. Everyone should vote. Whether they agree, they don't agree. So yes, the Bez Nagodol, because Bez Nagodol is considered like the Congress of Klal Yisrael. They represent Klal Yisrael. So that's usually assumed to be the Pshat in the Tosis. That some Tosis quoting the Sifrei, and the end of Parshas Sekev, so Parshas Sekev. Samach lepaltim shalchol loy hay rashta. So the Bez Nagar would never have given David HaMelech permission. They didn't give him permission, and they would not have given permission. What's he going to conquer Syria for? First conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. And after we'll finish conquering all of Eretz Yisrael, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, then we'll consider the possibility of conquering additional areas, if we need it or not. So that's the pashtus, that it wasn't, it's not called the Kibush Rabim, it was Midas Rav Yisrael. Or one could read it the other way, that Samach Lepaltan Shal Chaloi Rashta, you can only extend the Kedusha to Chutz Loretz if the area in Chutz Loretz is contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, and it's like filling up a cup till it's full, till it overflows. So then the Kedusha can overflow into Chutz Loretz. But if there are areas in Eretz Yisrael, there are pockets in Eretz Yisrael that don't have Kedusha, how can you extend the Kedusha to Chutz Loretz? So according to the way Tosis reads the Gemara, the expression Kibush Yochid versus Kibush Rabim, the expression as it's used with respect to Surya has nothing to do with what the Rambam said. The Rambam says that the Yud Beis Nesiim and Parshas Maaseh represent all the members of their Shevet. In order to make it into a Kibush Rabim, Eretz Yisrael has to have the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael is Kibush, and the Kibush has to be a Kibush Rabim. Surya was also a Kibush Rabim. It was on behalf of everybody, but it wasn't Midas Rav Yisrael, or was done too early. It was premature. It was, the kibush of Surya was done before they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, before they were Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos says that's what the expression kibush rabim with respect to Surya is not identical with the expression of kibush rabim with respect to Eretz Yisrael proper that the Rambam said. In Eretz Yisrael proper, there's no machlokes. Everybody agrees you need kibush rabim. Kibush yochid is not good. Here, the whole terminology, the expression kibush rabim means a different thing according to Tosfos. Means either that you can't be Mekadosh HaRotz, the son of Sabbath, before all of Eretz Yisrael is filled up, or that it has to be with the authorization of the Bez Nagodol, which they didn't have. So if you learn like Tosfos, then there's no problem. If you learn like Rashi, that's a problem. Tosfos quotes Rashi, Kibush Yochi, that the Shaila by Surya was, Shalahoyu L'Sham Kol Yisrael B'Yachat, Kmo B'Kibush Yoshua. The Kapshuol Tzarach Kulam, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the conquest was on behalf of all of the Klal Yisrael. Avad Dovid Lakavish Elul Tzarko. Dovid Amel kept it for his own. So Rashi learns Kibush Yochid versus Kibush Rabin by Surya is the same as the Rambam understood Kibush Yochid versus Kibush Rabin by all of Eretz Yisrael. So how come by Eretz Yisrael there's no machlekes? That's the parsha of the Yud Beis Nesiim representing all of the Shvatim. Because in order to endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, everyone agrees. All the Tanaim agree. How can you have a machlekes? That's Pshat and Chumash. You need Kibush Rabim. So how all of a sudden now there's a machlekes by Aratz son of Sofas? That there's one opinion that you don't need Kibush Rabim. So Mestama, the answer is that there are two different dinim. One is Eretz Yisrael proper, and one is Aratz son of Sofas. To endow Eretz Yisrael proper with Kedusha, so that's what it says in the Parshas Masei, you have to have that it should be a Kibush Rabim. But once you've endowed Eretz Yisrael proper with Kedusha because you made a Kibush Rabim, so now there's a Machlekes Hatanaim, does the same regulation apply with respect to Aratz HaSan HaSavis? Aratz HaSan HaSavis is a different din of Kedusha. It's lined out from the Reba Kol. Kol Mokam HaShat Tidrach Kav Raglan. So maybe since it's the Kedusha of Aratz HaSan HaSavis is like an Iker and a Tofel. The Iker is the Kedusha Sa'aretz. So if you have an area that's contiguous to Eretz Yisrael and you conquer it, so then the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael can extend into the Aratz HaSan HaSavis. So maybe that's what one Tana holds. We don't accept that opinion. We pass on the Dini Kibush Rabim, Aratz HaSan HaSavis also, and Surya only had a Kedusha with the Rabbanah. But maybe the other opinion, the minority opinion that's not accepted, Gemara said this Bryce is the minority opinion. The Bryce on Amud Aleph says that Surya has a full Kedusha Min HaTorah with respect to all the mitzvahs atliyas bars. And Gemara says, Kasavar, on the second line on Chesam and Beis, second line from the top, Kasavar, Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush. Why? So apparently this time is of the opinion that you don't need a Kibush Rabim to be Mekadosh Surya. Once you are Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, the Kibush Rabim, and Surya is adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, it's contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, and the Jew is buying it, and a Hanami, Rabbi Soloveitchik would buy an area in Chutz Loretz, in the Middle East, contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will have Kedusha, so the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael will extend it. A Kibush Yochid would be, that's what this Tana holds, Kibush Yochid is sufficient. For Eretz Yisrael proper, you need Kibush Rabim. But then once you have an area that's contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, so the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael can spill over, can extend over into the Surya. We paskan not so. We paskan that the Kedusha of Surya is only with the Rabbanan, because you need a Kibush Rab Midun Faratzis Hanasofis, according to the Beirashi learns. According to Tosfos, there's a different reason why. The Sifrei, that Tosfos and the Rambam quoted. Sifrei says that the reason why Surya was not endowed with Kedusha when David HaMelech conquered it was because Samach Lepaltan Shalcha Lo Harashta. It's a whole different meaning of the expression Kibush Yochid versus Kibush Rabbit. So this is the famous discussion that the Gemara has, Bekama Mekoymus and Shas. Here is one Gittin Chesam Abbas, the second line. Then you have on the Masoros HaShas on the left hand margin, you have all the cross references from Avodah Zarah, from other Gemaras and Gittin. This was a dispute in the days of after the Churban Bayis Sheni. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Tanoim had a dispute whether Surya was endowed with Kedusha Min HaTorah Min HaRabbanan. The whole Gemara is hard to understand. What are they talking about? They're talking after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and they're talking about the Kedusha that David HaMelech created in Surya, whether it's Min HaTorah Min HaRabbanan. Whatever it was in the days of David HaMelech is gone and forgotten. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, that was all wiped out. We paskin the overwhelming majority of the Tanaim. Everybody agrees to this psak. The Kedusha Rishayna was not Kitchalosi Lovay. So what are they discussing ancient history? Whether in the days of David HaMelech, whether Surya had Kedusha Deraisa Derabban. Forget about what happened in the days of Ishmael. Let's discuss what happened when Ezra and Nehemiah came back in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, because Habakrach and Kav Shali Mitzrayim, well, Kav Shali Bubble. So what happened when the Oli Bubble came back to Eretz Yisrael? Did they endow Surya with Kedusha? Did they not endow Surya with Kedusha? That's what the discussion should depend on. This Braisa was not written before the Churban Bayis Rishon. There were no Tanoim writing Braises during the period of the Bayis Rishon. The Braisa was written after the Bayis Sheni. So what are they falling back all the time to Kedusha Rishon? The Kedusha days of David HaMelech, that's ancient history. It's totally irrelevant. Whatever was in the days of David HaMelech was wiped off because Kedusha Rishon was butler at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. So that's the Chapela in the Gemara. So they quote in the name of Rab Chaim. The stama, what you have to say on the Gemara is the following. That passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that commented on the Pasuk, the Rasha Mishnayis, quotes that passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's Rab Chaim knew it from the Rasha Mishnayis. That the Yerushalmi comments on the Pasuk in the Teuchecha that it says after the Golas bubble will be over and the Jews will come back to Eretz Yisrael, will have it better off than our forefathers had it. In what sense did they have it better off? It took 14 years. That's Kedusha Shniyah. So that's Rab Chaim explained. Kedusha Shniyah is created like Dei Chazoka. If the Jews just move in, they can endow the area with Kedusha, provided that the area once had a Kedusha Rishayna, Ayidei Kibush. But if it never had a Kedusha Rishayna, so then you can't create a Kedusha Shniyah Ayidei Chazoka. So that's apparently what that's Rab Chaim said. That's apparently what the discussion in the Tanaim was. They're working on the assumption that when Ezra and Nehemiah came back at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, the Jews did settle in Surya. There was Chazoka in Surya. But the question was, Chazaka can't initiate Kedusha Sa'aretz from scratch. Chazaka is only satisfactory, it's only sufficient if you're trying to reawaken, you're trying to give a Kedusha Shnir to an area that once had a Kedusha Rishayna. So that's the Shaila over here. In the days of David HaMelech, did David HaMelech ever succeed in giving Surya Kedusha Min HaTorah? Did it have a Kedusha Rishayna Ayidei Kibush, or did it not? So if initially Surya had a Kedusha Rishayna Min HaTorah, because Kibush Yochid Shmei Kibush, so if in the days of David HaMelech he succeeded in giving a Kedusha Rishayna Ayidei Kibush B'chiluk, and that Kedusha was cancelled at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, so then when they moved back in the dimes of Bayis Sheni, so they had the Chazaka, so the Chazaka can reawaken the Kedusha. But if in the days of David HaMelech we're going to hold that Kibush Yochid Lav Shmei Kibush, so Surya never had a Kedusha Min HaTorah. So it was always Chutz L'Aretz. And then the days of, you have to be Mekadosh Eretz for the first time, Ayidei Kibush. In the beginning of Bayis Sheni, there was no Kibush. There was no Kibush till the days of the Chashmonai. What's the Chashmonai made a Kibush on Surya? The Gemara assumes that not so. Chashmonai made a Kibush on Eretz Yisrael, not on Surya. So there never was any kibush. And the discussion of Surya, if it had a kedusha rishayna, the arise in the days of David HaMelech, and the kedusha rishayna was butler at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, then you can reawaken the kedusha rishayna idei chazake, which there was apparently in the beginning of Bayis Rishon. Jews did move into Syria, and then we'll declare that kedusha shniya kitchalosi lavai. So even after the Churban Bayis Rishon, when all the Tanoim lived after the Churban Bayis Rishon, there's still going to be a kedusha to Syria. But if it never had a kedusha rishayna, the arise in the days of David HaMelech, because kibush yochid lav shmei kibush. So then it never had. So you can't reawaken. There was no kedusha rishona to reawaken. You gotta start from scratch. So there never was a kibush on Surya. The discussion is whether the chazaka that they made on Surya was sufficient to reawaken the kedusha rishona or not. If there was a kedusha rishona, then the chazaka can reawaken it. That's how they quote b'shem rabchaim. That seems to be pshat in the gemara.
I
mean, it was never part of the Kedusha Rishayna. I don't know. So you have to figure out the kibush of the Jewish, but it's in the Gvul HaSaretz. It is part of the Gvul HaSaretz. How far does the Gvul HaSaretz go? I don't know. 2 days and 1 day is not necessarily totally in which parts of Eretz Yisrael have kedusha. Maybe totally in other things. I don't know. We're gonna have to learn in the Hemshe Chasu. We're gonna have to learn what the map of Eretz Yisrael is. There's gonna be a whole discussion here on Chesem and Aleph. Rashi Taisis Pesukim Chumash. Gonna have to work on it. Okay. So we have one aspect of Eretz Yisrael started when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders. Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael, ownership of the Gvulas Eretz. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, we have to look in the Chumash to see what are the Gvulas of Eretz Yisrael. But just because he acquired ownership, it does mean that it had Kedusha yet. It wasn't endowed with Kedusha till the Kedusha Rishayna. So most of the Rishayim say that the Kedusha Rishayna means the Kedusha Rishayna was accomplished through the Kibush B'chiluk. That's a simple pshat in the days of Yishua Beno. We mentioned the Tais was there in Yivamiz Daf Pei Beis Amin Beis, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel as everything moved up centuries earlier. The Rabbeinu Hananel understands that the Kedusha Rishayna was created in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Avraham Avinu, when he walked around the borders. Avraham Yitzchak and Yankin made the Kedusha Rishayna. When did Avraham Yitzchak make the Kedusha Rishayna? And what was in the days of Yishua Benun, that's Kedusha Shniya. Kedusha Shniya, Kitcha Lasi Lava, so from the days of Yishua Benun, Ara Yayim Azeh, the Kedusha Shniya list. So how does he understand Harbi Krachim Kov Sholim Mitzrayim Ala Kov Sholim Bovel? The Krachim that were conquered by Yolim Mitzrayim, that were not, and the Jews didn't, were not Mekadosh the second time. What do you mean? His Kedusha Shniya, Kitcha Lasi Lava, Kedusha Shniya was the Kedusha that was made in the days of Yishua Benun, is Kedusha Shniya. So how does the Gemara say they were Karach Mishkav Shalom Tzayim Kav Shalom Bov? So Tosis rejects totally this Rabbeinu Hananel. We don't accept it at all. The Kedusha Rishayim was not created by Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. Avraham Avinu walked around the borders and he acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Mechzaka Simi Avisenu. It's Muchzak, it's not called Roy. Ownership in Dili Mamdus. But the Kedusha with respect to the Mitzvah Hatlois Vorot, only began from the days of Yishua Benun, and that's called Kedusha Rishayim. And that was canceled because that Kedusha Rishayim was based on Kibush. And at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, we lost the Kibush. So that's why the Kedusha Rishayim was Batla. And the Kedusha Shniya was clearly not made on the Kibush. There was no Kibush of Eretz Yisrael by the Jewish people at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So the Kedusha Shniya didn't rest on Kibush, it rested on Chazaka, the Rambam coins the term. The Yerushalmi doesn't have an expression. The Yerushalmi just says, Miyad shenichnastem nischayavtem. So the Rambam calls it Chazaka. Chazaka means nichnastem. When the Jews moved in and they lived in Eretz Yisrael, that's called the Chazaka. So because the Rambam says, the Kedusha Shniya didn't rest on, it wasn't based on Kibush, so it wasn't undone at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni when the Kibush was undone. Because for the first few centuries in the Bayis Sheni, there was Kedusha Saras without any Kibush. Just because the Kibush is undone, So it's like it was in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. It doesn't make it worse. So that's why we pass on La Locha that the Kedusha Shni was Loi Batla. So that Gemara that says Harbi Karach and Kov Shalim Esayim and Kov Shalim Bavel, those areas are not Chai the Mitzvahs Hakliyas Baretz. That's only the agricultural mitzvahs. Don't apply there. You look in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perakei in Hilchas Sanhedrin. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first perak that there's a halacha. You cannot confer smicha in Chutz Lord. You can only give smicha in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's giving the smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one who's receiving the smicha, they don't have to be zeb if nezeh. You can send smicha in the mail to someone else, but they both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. The one is conferring the smicha, one is receiving the smicha. So the Rambam says then, and what? Which part of Eretz Yisrael counts? So he says it doesn't matter which areas have Kedusha Shniyah, it all depends on what had Kedusha Rishayna. Aye, but Kedusha Rishayna was Batla. On the side of the Rambam, yes, Kedusha Rishayna was Batla. The Rambam writes the same benegia to Egla Rufa. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ritzeh, Hashmeres Nefesh. He quotes the pasuk in the end of Chumash Dvarim, Ki matzichol ba'adama asher Hashem lokech nosen lecha. If you find that person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Egla Rufa doesn't apply in Chutzlo. It's only in Eretz Yisrael. You have to murder the lahar meshas vivas acholo. You have to measure. So Bez Nagodol has to send representatives. You have to measure to the cities nearest to the cholol, and the city that's closest has to bring an Egla Rufa. So the pasuk says, Gemara said Yerushalayim doesn't bring an egla rufa because Yerushalayim land is chal kadoshvot. You only bring an egla rufa in Eretz Yisrael. Ki matzachol ba'adoma asher Hashem alkecha nosen lechol lishvatecha. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Shen is chal kadoshvot. If you have Yerushalayim, is land is chal kadoshvot, and they don't bring egla rufa. The egla rufa obviously doesn't apply in Chutz Lartz. There are people murdered in Chutz Lartz, believe it or not, but no one brings any. You don't have a mitzvah to bring egla rufa. So the Rambam writes, in what areas are considered Eretz Yisrael, he says you fall back to the map of Kedusha Rishayna. Doesn't depend on Kedusha Shnei. Why? So the Mefarshim on the side explain it a little bit. The Radvaz refers you to the Sefer Kafta Baferach. Kafta Baferach, the Radvaz lived in the days of the Achrenim, the 1500s. But the Kafta Baferach was one of the Balei HaTesis, who moved to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a whole sefer all about the mitzvahs of Tlis Varetz and the geography of Eretz Yisrael and where the borders are, where you observe Yantav Rishon, Yantav Sheni, and so on. All the dinim that are relevant, the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash and bringing karbonis, talks about everything and everything he talks about. So he quotes from the Kafta Baferach that there's a vort over here. What's the vort? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over in his language. The Kafta Baferach has a little bit different language. Rav Soloveitchik said it over in his language. That why is there such a din that you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael? This has to do with agriculture. This has to do with the kedushas haaretz. It has nothing to do with kedushas haaretz. Egla rufa also is not an agricultural mitzvah. The Mishnah says in the end of the first parak in Kedushin that the chayvus karka, the mitzvah satliyas baaretz, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is defined with respect to mitzvah satliyas baaretz as that part of Eretz Yisrael that has kedusha. So if you say kedusha, we shine it was batla. And Kedusha Shnia didn't cover the same area. Harik Rachim Kav Shalim Mesamila Kav Shalim Bovel. Kedusha Shnia was a smaller area. So with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs, it depends on Kedusha Shnia. But here you're talking about smicha. You're talking about Egla Rufa. It has nothing to do with agriculture. It has nothing at all to do with agriculture. What kind of halacha is that only applies in Eretz Yisrael? So the Pashto says that it's a different vort. The vort probably being that Egla Rufa is not a chavis hayochid. It's a chayv tzibur. The community is chayv. Here, the tzibur that we're talking about is not the whole klal Yisrael, the city. The city constitutes a tzibur. We consider the whole city as an entity of a tzibur. So the ir asmuch el acholol has the obligation. That tzibur has an obligation. So apparently there's a din, the Chumash has a din, that the ikat tziruf of the tzibur of klal Yisrael, where they're talking about all of klal Yisrael, they're talking about the city. The Ikat Tziruf of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. In order to be considered a nation, you have to have a national homeland. So you have to be, the Mitzaref is, so there are Zionists who live in America who preach Zionism, and there are Zionists who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. So those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael, that's the Ikat Tziruf of Klal Yisrael, those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lartz, that's how the Gemara says in the first parak in Horius, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, on Pcharis on Daf Chav Tes has a long piece, has a long essay about smicha, because the Mishnah talks about smicha. So the Rambam says smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, and he says the reason why can smicha only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael? He's bothered with the question. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. Why is it restricted only to Eretz Yisrael? So he says it's because the Gemara in the first parak in Harius has a din menegia too. Par halam dover shel tzibur. What is par halam dover shel tzibur? There's a din of korban chatos. If a person violates an aver b'shoigeg, so he needs a kapara, so he has to bring a korban chatos. So which aver? What do you mean he cheated in business b'shoigeg? Or he spoke loshon hara b'shoigeg? I was mazik somebody b'shoigeg? No. The only time you chayv b'chatos is if a person did an aver b'shoigeg, which is dono koris. If he would have violated the aver b'meiz, it would have been chayv koris. So dover shel dono koris. So let's say one person was Machal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he has to bring a Korban Chatas. 100 people, 1,000 people, 100,000 people, each one has to bring a Korban Chatas. What if the whole Klal Yisrael violated Chil Shabbos? Also, each and every individual person has to bring a Korban Chatas. What if it wasn't really their fault? What if the Bez Nagodol gave a psak that is mutter to turn on lights? So if the Bez Nagodol says mutter is mutter, so everybody turns on lights. And then a year later, people retire from the Bez Nagodol, and then they appoint new people, or the same old people remain there, and then they change their minds. Either they actually change their minds, or the body of the Bez Nagodol changed their minds because we changed the members of the Bez Nagodol. Supreme Court Paskin. Who are the members of the Supreme Court? You can appoint different people to the Supreme Court. So if the Bez Nagodol later on changes their mind, then it turns out that they were responsible for everybody being Mechal Shabbos, because they gave a Psak its Mutter, and that's why everybody did the Chil Shabbos. So if the Roiv HaTzibur violated an Issa Koris, eating Chelev Adam, eating Chametz B'Pesach, eating on Yom Kippur. They said that to eat the lollipops is mutter on Yom Kippur. Only fleshiks is us, only milchiks is us. Parva is mutter, whatever they said. Water is mutter to drink on Yom Kippur. And then later on they back out and they say we made a mistake. And they leave everybody hanging over here, they leave everybody holding the big. The Roiv of the Klal Yisrael violated Issa Koris of eating on Yom Kippur because of the Psaka, the Bez Nagodol. So then the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, instead of requiring each and every individual person to bring his own private Korban Chatos, Bez Nagodol brings one Korban Chatos, Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and the whole Tzibur gets a Kapar. So the Gemara says when you calculate whether 51% of the Tzibur violated Avera, or less than 51%, the Roiv HaTzibur, you only count those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, B'hoirua halocha haroiv yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. Because those who live in Chutzlars are not really called part of the Tzibur. The Ikid Tziruf of the Tzibur are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, how do we know? So the Gemara there in Hoirius quotes a pasuk that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdosh, so the whole Jewish people participated in the celebration. Kohol Gadol, Melevoy Chamos Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. From the most northern point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael, they all participated in the Chanukah's Bais Rishon. So the Gemara says, you see, from that pasuk in Malachim, Kohol Gadol, Kohol, the Tzirah for Klal Yisrael only applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara in Harvias, in his commentary on Pcheres, and Mishnayis, on Daf Chav Tes, and he says, it's for that reason that you cannot confer smicha in Chutz Lartz. Apparently the Rambam thinks that smicha is not a private affair, that a person, I got smicha for my Rebbe, and I have the right to transmit smicha to someone else. No. My ability to give smicha to any student of mine is because I'm representing Klal Yisrael. Smicha is being conferred by Klal Yisrael. Apparently that's what the Sri Yesh points out. There's a Gemara at the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says about the Tanu who gave up his life in order to confer smicha to others. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava gave up his life and the Romans killed him. They made Gzeri not allowed to confer smicha, and he gave smicha in a public fashion, and they caught him and they killed him. So the Sri Yesh asked, why did they have to do it in public? You should have given smicha privately so nobody would know. The Romans would know. They said it would appear from the Gemara that the smicha is only valid if it's given in public. Why? Because the smicha is a public smicha is given on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Like it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to confer smicha on Yeshua ben Nun, so it says, "Mitzivisa also li'aneihem." You should give the smicha to Yeshua ben Nun in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. It has to be done in a public fashion. Because the smicha is not a private, even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give private smicha. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving smicha as representing Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam seems to say in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that's why the smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael, because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute the ikat siruf of the tzibur. So apparently that's the reason why Egel Aruf only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's the same reason why smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Then the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. The first two tshuvas and the second chelik arachayim of the Avnei Nezer, he quotes this Pirush HaMishnayos Lo HaRambam in Chayres. Then he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Usually has a paragraph on each one of the 613 mitzvahs. And then when he has the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, so he gives you one or two lines for each mitzvah. But in Sefer HaMitzvah, he gives you a short paragraph. There's one, every so often the Ram gives you a long paragraph, a few paragraphs. When it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, the Rambam has a long, very long arichas in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And he explains that Kiddush HaChodesh can only, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak. The Gemara is the end of Brachas also, very end of Brachas. So the Gemara says Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done by a Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. Why in Eretz Yisrael? Whoever receives smicha in Eretz Yisrael can function in Chutz Laretz also. They can be done in the Fashas and Chutz Laretz. If the 23 members of the Sanhedrin in New York got smicha from Eretz Yisrael, once they got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, they can function wherever they want. So why does Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah have to take place in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam writes this whole story in the Sefer HaMitzvah because the Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael only applies to those people who live in Eretz Yisrael. And when the Bezdin declares Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah, it's not a Bezdin Metoras Bezdin, it's a Bezdin representing Klal Yisrael. The Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah really depends on Klal Yisrael. That's kemat explicit in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah. So that's what the Eglik, the Avli Nezer, in the first two Tshuvas and the second Chelik Arachayim, that's in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. He talks about Kiddush HaChodesh there. The first Chelik, Avli Nezer, Arachayim, covers in Arachayim until the end of Hilchas Shabbos, then Hilchas Erevin. And then after that comes Hilchas Rosh Chodesh and then Hilchas Pesach. So the second Chelik, Avli Nezer, talks about Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. So he explains that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says regarding Kiddush HaChodesh, the same as the Rambam explains in the Pirush HaMishnayos regarding smicha, that smicha and Kiddush HaChodesh have to be done in Eretz Yisrael only, because the Bezdin doesn't act on their own. The Bezdin acts b'toras representatives of Klal Yisrael, and the Ikat Siruf HaTzibur only applies to those who actually live in Eretz Yisrael, like the Rambam wrote based on the Gemara by Par HaLandov Shel Tzibur. That's the Gemara says, like the Halacha HaRov Yoshei Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Rav Soloveitchik always used to explain this Rambam. Why the Rambam says that with respect to smicha, with respect to Egel Arufa, it doesn't depend on Kedusha Shnia. It depends on Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Rishonah. Why? Because you're not talking about an agricultural mitzvah, Chavis Karka, mitzvah Pliya Ba'aretz, that should be a function of Kedusha Sa'aretz. You're talking about a tziruf of Klal Yisrael, so whatever once had Kedusha Eretz Yisrael retains the status of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to retain the status of Kedusha Saretz. As long as it once had Kedusha Saretz, Bizman Yeshua Benun, so that area is considered part of Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of being Mitzar of Klal Yisrael. So what's the story here? Let's say, Benegir 2, maybe you get me, Eretz Yisrael doesn't have to say Befana Nechta, Befana Nechta. Maybe you get Nechutz Laretz, has to say Befana Nechta. Does it depend on Kedusha Sa'aretz? So that's what Tosfos wrote on the first Mishnah. No, it's not a function of, what is that? It's not, you're not talking about agricultural mitzvah over here. You're talking about Befana Nechta. So why do you have to say Befana Nechta? So the Gemara said, they all agree you need Befana Nechta because of Kiyam Ashtar. And there's a possibility, if you're all like Rabbah, there's an additional reason because of the problem of Ein Bikim Lishma. So why is it that in Eretz Yisrael there's no problem? So the Gemara says, because there's so many Jews there and so many Jews traveling around. Shiva Bochum, Oile Regel, Bizman Abayis, after the Chorban Abayis, Shiva Bochum, Bati Dinim, all bunch of reasons why. So Tosfos says, these reasons don't really depend on Eretz Yisrael, HaMekudeshes, B'Kedush HaSa'aretz, as opposed to the areas which are not Mekudesh. That was the big fat thesis on Beis Amin Aleph, the Mamaskal, the Ashkelon. It's not really a function, Bein Lahakal, Bein Lahachma. There are areas in Chutz Loretz where the people are very learned, and there are areas in Eretz where the people are not learned. Those areas of Eretz that are closer to the center of the Yeshiva, where the Yeshivas are, So there'll be Eidim Mitzuyim V'Kaima, there'll be people traveling all the time, Tumli, and they'll know the Din of Lishma, those who live in the Ayoris HaRechoikos, in the center of the Yishuv. No one is traveling there, they won't recognize the Chasimis, and they may not know the Din of Lishma. So it's not really a function of Kedushas HaOretz. This din of requiring b'fananechtam is not really a function of, it doesn't make sense to say that it should depend on Kedushas HaOretz. So what does it depend on? Whatever is in the center of the Yishuv. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. The Gemara is going to discuss over here the second half of Zayin Amud Beis. What's the halacha if the get was written on a boat in a river in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is going to discuss different possibilities. The boat is on one of the rivers in Eretz Yisrael, or the boat is in the Mediterranean. And where, which part of the Mediterranean is the boat? Do you draw a line from the northernmost point of Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point, Nachal Mitzrayim? And the islands over there include in that area, or if the boat is in that area, that boat is called in the borders of Eretz Yisrael, or even if the boat is outside of that area. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss over here. It cannot be that the discussion, and Tosis points it out, it's based on what Tosis wrote on Beis Haman Aleph, Ashkelon. It cannot be that the requirement to recite, to say b'fananechtam, is going to be a function of whether the area is chayv and mitzvah satlius baratz or not. We know it's not true. Tosis on Beis Haman Aleph, on the opening Mishnah, Tosis showed that it's not totally zebizeh. It's totally, where's the center of the issue? But still, if the middle of the river is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael, and the middle of the Mediterranean is not part of Eretz Yisrael, so then you got to say b'fananechta. So that's what the Gemara is going to be discussing over here. Then first the Gemara discusses on higher up, on Zayin and Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss this idea, Harbi krachim kov she'ole mitzayim elekov she'ole bovel. There are areas that were endowed with Kedusha Rishayna the first time around in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. And at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha was cancelled. And when the Jews came back the second time, they made a decision, the Rabbanim made a decision, not to be Mekadosh all the areas. Harik Krachim Kovshon HaMitzayim V'lo Kovshon HaLibov V'Hinichum. On purpose, they decided not to be Mekadosh all the areas because it was too difficult to observe the laws of Shemitah. It's difficult enough if you have a small Eretz Yisrael, it's going to make Eretz Yisrael bigger. So there were areas which had Kedusha Rishayna, which never had Kedusha Shniyah. So that's on the top of Zayin and Beis. And what I was going to be discussing is some kind of a highway going from Aku to Kziv. Kziv is further north than Aku. The way the Gemara quotes this Tosefta and Aholois, the Gemara is presenting it as if Eretz Yisrael is a rectangular shape approximately. That's what Rashi refers to, the Ribua of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, right above that first, the two diagrams in Rashi on Zayin Amud Beis. The two lines above the first, the upper diagram, Rashi coins the term Ribua Eretz Yisrael, the rectangular shape of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara visualizes Eretz Yisrael as approximately rectangular shape, you know the map. And then the Gemara visualizes Aku in the northeastern corner of Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon says, we all know it's not so. Aku is mamish in the Mediterranean. You have the big stones there in the Mediterranean. So it's mamish on the. So the Vilna Gaon changes the gear, so everything should be the reverse. Not that Akko is the northeastern border of Eretz Yisrael, Akko is the northwestern border of Eretz Yisrael. And to the right should be to the left, and to the left should be to the right. So the Gemara is just describing the details of this. So there are pockets of, there are locations within the original map of Eretz Yisrael which were never endowed with Kedusha Shniyah. So how do you know which areas do, which areas don't? So you have to have a historical tradition. So the Gemara says, to the right of the highway is, to the left of the highway is not, unless an expert will tell you we have a tradition that is not so over here. This, you have to have a tradition. That's what the Chazon Ish guessed years ago, and after he died, they discovered the tablet from one of the shuls in Golan. That he didn't think, when the Gemara says that the Rebbe hit the Beit Shan, the Gemara Chulin in the first parak that Tosfos quotes on the Mishnah, the Rebbe declared that Beit Shan is not Kaddish but Kedushas HaAretz, so he didn't think that it referred to the whole area of Beit Shan. He thought that it refers to certain parts of Beit Shan, not to the whole area. And then they found the tablets after he died. They found it says Beferish like that. They had from the old shuls, they had on the front of the shul, maps of Eretz Yisrael with descriptions, which areas have Kedusha, which areas don't have Kedusha. So this is one of the many brises that gives you the details, which areas do have Kedusha. What's it doing in Tosefta and Aholos? It belongs in Trumas. What's it doing in Aholos? So the Gemara explains why. The Gemara quotes the din. They made a din mid Rabbanon of Tumas Eretz Amin, that all of Chutz La'aretz has a status like one big cemetery, because the Gemara has a tradition that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. Mabul had water so many Amis deep, covering over all the mountains. All the mountains were covered, were below the surface of the water, but the water didn't, there were no walls surrounding Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara had tradition the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. See, after the Mabul was over, all these dead bodies were strewn all over the place. All the people from Kodem HaMabul, that was only a Chutz La'aretz. So because they have dead bodies all over the place, so therefore they declared Tumas Eretz Amin. All of Chutz La'aretz has a status like a cemetery. But the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael, so the people in Eretz Yisrael died a natural death and were buried in a cemetery. Those in Chutz La'aretz were drowned in there, and after the Mabul, the waters went down, so the dead bodies were strewn all over.
What does it mean? If I have a cemetery that I just made, I'm not gozer that the cemetery is tamei. It's tamei because there are mason there.
Yeah.
So then if all the mason of the Mabul were basically nikvar all over Chutz La'aretz, you don't need a gzera of Tumas Amin. Now that's just the whole Chutz La'aretz is the base akvar.
Tamei, you have a right to go basarayv. That the odds probably are 1,000 to 1 that the location where you are, I'm walking over here, the mistama, the odds are that there was no dead body. Or if that there was a dead body, by now, after the Mabul, maybe it was removed. Maybe the bones disintegrate, maybe there's nothing left. So Lemaisa, it's only a Xerim and the Rabban, because this happened a few years ago. So all the bodies disappeared by now. Even at that time, some of the odds were 100 to 1 that in any given location there was no dead body. But that was what the Xerim and the Rabban was based on. So that's why it's on Tosefta Holos. The Mishnayis and the Toseftas and all is talking about this Din Rabbanon of Tumas Eretz Amin. So then it tells you where are the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Going from Aku to Gziv, further north, the Vilna Gaon says northwestern border, and the way the misprint in Argmar says it's the northeastern border. So then we're talking about which side of the road is Eretz Yisrael, which side of the highway is Chutz La'aretz. And it's not going to be, it's going to be a little bit here, a little bit there, because at Habrek Krachen Kovshalim and Sarmila Kovshali Bovo. It wasn't like the Chazon Ish said, there were pockets within pockets. It doesn't necessarily have to go with a whole seichel over here. It doesn't go with a logical cheshbon. There were areas where they decided not to be Mekadosh, and areas that they were Mekadosh. So you just have to have a historical tradition to know where everything is. The different aspects of Eretz Yisrael, the ownership, the monetary ownership of Eretz Yisrael, that's from the days of Avraham Avinu. The Kedusha Sa'aretz that we speak of today is from the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. But that had to be, there was no kibush, that had to be a chazakah, a reawakening of the Kedusha Bishayna. If there never was a Kedusha Bishayna in Surya, that's how we passed in Surya, was a kibush yochid, there never was a Kedusha Bishayna in HaTorah, then there couldn't be a reawakening of Kedusha de chazakah. Then there's a third inyan of Eretz Yisrael, not with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs, with respect to the Ikat Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. Those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's with respect to Egla Arufa, with respect to Smicha, and with respect to the din of Kiddush HaChodesh has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. So that the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes that's not a function of Kedusha Sa'aretz, that's a function of the national homeland of the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael being Mitzaref all of Klal Yisrael. Then there are other additional aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll leave that tomorrow. We'll continue. We'll start with the beginning. That was an introduction. We've got to start from there.